Hey, what's happening, audit friends and family? Listen, everybody loves a good story, don't they? Well, that's what we're going to talk about today, the art of storytelling while auditing. Are you ready? Let's go.
Welcome to Audit Bites, the podcast that helps auditors become awesome. Join us for bite-sized info and education to excel in your auditing career.
Hey friends, welcome to today's episode of Audit Bites. This is episode number 58. Can you believe that we're on 58 already? Beyond the numbers, the crucial role of storytelling for auditors. So while I have your attention and while I have you here, let me ask you a question. Do you like a good story? I know I do. Do you like a good story? Now, Heather is saying she can't wait for the stories. Well, Heather, I'm not telling stories today. I'm telling auditors why it's important to tell stories backed by scientific research. Jim, good to see you, my friends. Now, if you can't tell, I'm in another location. I'm actually traveling. So, man, having to move everything and set it up and everything too, that's a chore in and of itself. But that's a story. See what I did there? For another day. Today, beyond the numbers, the crucial role in storytelling for auditors. And so the question that I asked is, do you like stories? But let me ask, do stories move you to make decisions? Personally, would a good story move you to make decisions? Let me explain what I mean by that. Several months ago in the U.S., we were rocked by a story of a young lady who came up missing. She just disappeared. And then there was this nationwide search trying to figure out where she had gone. It's a pretty interesting story. Then she reappeared just as quickly as she disappeared. And she said that some man with orange hair kidnapped her. The story didn't sound right. A lot of people didn't believe it. However, because she told a compelling story, many people in the nation were condemning those who questioned her story. Now, after a little bit of time, they found out she was not telling the truth. Not at all. She had to go before a judge and tell what happened, and she really didn't tell what happened. And recently as this week, it was discovered that she got no jail time for committing this crime. However, my point is, because she had a compelling story, an entire nation of people believed what she had to say. So my question for you all again is, do stories move you to make decisions, Jim? Heather, if you hear a good story, would you make a decision based on that story? I tend to believe that everyone loves a good story. Everybody. I don't care who you are, how old you are, your nationality, wherever you live, everyone loves a good story. Now, if I'm wrong, then tell me, why were global box office revenues for movies $21.4 billion in 2021? That seems like most of us really like a good story. But for years, the business sector rejected stories. For years, business sector rejected a good story. Historically, business people viewed stories as just crafting a story to try and influence people. Now, that's kind of what marketers do, right? Manipulation. But over the years, there's been a lot of research on storytelling that underscores its importance in our lives. And much of this research indicates that everyone, not only do we enjoy stories, but everyone is a storyteller, and our brains are wired for stories. Now, Jim is saying, definitely not. A story alone would not make me move and make an irrational decision about something. Jim, that's what sets us auditors apart from most people. We think logically most of the time. Most people don't. But Heather is saying, not just the story. Yeah, it's the story and the emotion behind it. It's a lot of other things, but the story is an important part of it. And Heather brings up another good point. Movies versus reality are very different for most of us. Okay. Now, I just said, research indicates that most of us are natural storytellers and our brains are wired for stories. Now, you're probably thinking, what in the world do I mean by everyone is a good storyteller, especially for people thinking, well, whenever I try to tell stories, they just fall flat and no one ever listens to me. Anybody like that? I'm not like that, but is anybody like that? So a University of Oxford psychologist named Robin Dunbar, she conducted research on this very subject. He conducted research on this very subject. He sent students out to places where people talk casually, coffee shops, shopping malls, etc. What he found is that when we speak informally with friends and colleagues, about 65% of the time, we talk about who did what and with whom. Now, this type of story is commonly known as gossip, but most of us, especially in the business sector, regard gossip as bad. Anybody regard gossip as good? Most of us regard gossip as bad, but Dunbar, he defines it differently. He thinks that, well, he thinks of it as speaking of someone who is not in the conversation. Regardless of whether it's good or bad, he views gossip as speaking of someone that is not in the conversation. So now, according to this definition, gossip can be positive as well as negative. Now, when I first heard this and read this, I'm thinking to myself, no, gossip is just bad. I mean, they have television shows dedicated to gossip. There was a show called Gossip Girl. Gossip is not good. That was my initial thought. But when I have questions about certain things, sometimes I ask a friend. And sometimes that friend I ask is usually Google. Now, when I asked my friend Google about gossip, you're going to be surprised with what our friend Google said. You're going to be surprised by the definition our friend Google gave of gossip. And I'm going to put it up on the screen so that everyone can see it. Gossip, casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed as being true. Casual or unconstrained conversations or reports about other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed as being true. Now, with that said, that could be taken a lot of different ways, right? That could also mean a lot of different things. Now, according to Dunbar, not all gossip is bad, not all gossip is good, but he goes on further to say that what is important here is the intent. And let me give you a good example. Suppose you see someone standing up to the office bully. And then you went and told someone else about it. And it might sound something like this. You may say something like, I just watched John stand up to Sarah for harassing Mary. He told her to stop using her position of power in the organization to boss around poor Sarah. It was amazing. You should have been there. Now, while that's actually a true story, it still is gossip because it's talking about someone else who was not around. But his research went on further to state that about 65% of the time when we talk informally to other people, we're telling them stories, either about our life, our vacation, our kids, our family, our friends. We're telling someone a story, and that is how we're getting them to relate to and like us. So with that said, We are hardwired to tell stories with the way that we communicate. But so now that got me to asking another question. Why in the world are we natural storytellers? Why does this exist? Well, according to scientists, my friends, we are hardwired for stories. According to scientists, we are hardwired for stories. So let's talk about this for just one moment. You see, as auditors, we like to give people facts and figures, or we'll give them process problems without the backstory. However, neuroscientist Jeff Hawkins suggests that what our neocortex, that's the spongy part of our brain, what it does involves learning and recalling sequences of patterns. Let me explain what that means now. What we do is, well, let me just take a step back. Another neuroscientist named Lisa Feldman, she offers a similar idea. Here's what she says. She says that what we do is we use our past experiences as a guide, and then our brain prepares multiple competing simulations to an answer or a scenario or a question. And then we ask, what is this new sensory input most familiar to that we've already experienced? So imagine you walk into a meeting expecting a lively discussion with your team, and you're ready to brainstorm about ideas and decisions because that's what usually happens, except for this time, as you open the door, your neocortex notices that it's not the same. The first thing it's going to do is look at sight, taste, touch, sound, and try to recall similar experiences. Now, when it notices that something is different, it's confused. It's a shock that happens at first. Your brain had anticipated a collaborative environment, but, you know, based on your past experiences. But now in this current situation, there's a mismatch that occurs. And what it does is it triggers a sense of confusion, and it prompts your brain to adapt to the new scenario on the fly. So that's what happens when clients expect bad news from us and we come with news that's maybe better, or when their experiences with us have been good and then they have bad news. It causes this confusion in the brain, this mismatch. They're trying to relate past experiences with us with what they're experiencing now, and there's an initial shock when it's different. So the question becomes, well, what really happens? What really happens at work? So as auditors, we might say to a client, you need to stop using this system because, well, it has a lot of vulnerabilities and you need to just start using another system. And immediately they're going to have backlash and pushback. When you tell a story, though, your brain tries to predict what will happen next based on past experiences. And if the story unfolds exactly as expected, it might seem boring to your audience. So now, as auditors, we typically give bad news all the time. So one of the reasons our clients act nonchalant is because it reinforces their past experience. And it feels boring because it's like, oh, here come the auditors again, telling us the same old thing over and over again. So what the scientists say is, they say that it's important to explain why the change is necessary. Now, I know a lot of us try to do that. We say, well, there are vulnerabilities over here, or this is a control weakness there. But research shows that that's not enough. People want to hear stories. It helps to create a more complete and effective communication process. Okay, but wait. Why does that usually happen at work like that? Because, one, we bore our clients because they are used to hearing bad news from us. Two, we present them with facts and figures. And facts and figures don't really cause them to move. It doesn't make them think differently. It doesn't make them feel anything any different from what we're saying in the past. So they kind of tune us out. All of that scientific research to let you know that our clients actually tune us out when we're talking to them. So what happens is we sit down in front of them, our neural cortex, or their neural cortex, start to say, every time we talk to the auditors, it's bad news. And so whether it's bad news of epic proportion or just a little bit of bad news, whatever we say next becomes boring to them. And because it's boring, they can already predict what we're going to say, and they don't really listen. So that's what all that research said. So the question becomes, what can we do about it? What can we do about it? Okay, I'm going to give you four reasons why stories matter, backed by scientific research. Now, Jim is saying gossip may lead to something that is untrue, which may lead to the need for an investigation. Ah. Very true. But don't we always speculate based when we have conversations with people? We might tell a story to someone about how we were having a bad day and how some encounter we had with someone else was just really bad. And then we might speculate that maybe that person was in a bad mood too. May or may not be true. But yeah, we do a lot of speculating in life. So four reasons, though, that stories matter. Four reasons stories matter. The first reason is that stories keep you in sync with your audience. And you're going to want to really listen to this one because this one shocked me. In an experiment by a neuroscientist named Yuri Hasen, or in an experiment in the Yuri Hasen lab in Princeton, at Princeton University, a person was told a story while hooked up to an MRI, a functional MRI. This person was then instructed to retell the story as if telling it to a friend. Now, while they were talking, both the story and their brain activity were recorded. With the story duly documented, the researchers then asked 12 individuals to listen to the story as they lay in a functional MRI tunnel. The first thing the researchers noticed was that the brain activity of the storyteller matched the brain activity of the listener. So the same parts of the brain lit up on the MRI. And as you would expect, there was a small time lag as the listener comprehended the story. So in other words, the brain scan of the person listening to the story matched the brain scan of the story person telling the story. Now, this concept, it's actually called neural coupling. Neural coupling is a phenomenon that occurs when a listener's brain activity mirrors that of a speaker's brain activity, and it's also known as mirroring. And there have been multiple research studies done on this, but what it shows us is when we tell people stories, we kind of sync up in what we're thinking, at least from a brainwave activity standpoint that can be measured up under an MRI. Isn't that interesting? Does anybody else not find that just fascinating, or am I the only one? It kind of explains when you're telling someone a story and they say, I'm all ears, and they really are. And when you're telling your story, if you nod, you'll look at other people and you'll see that they're nodding too. Sometimes they might nod even if they don't agree with it. They just see you nodding and they nod too. Anybody ever tried that with someone? So the first reason stories are crucial in auditing is that stories keep you in sync with your audience. Now, I would say that stories also help you draw closer to your clients, especially if your brain waves are now in sync. Now, the second reason stories are important for auditors is stories stick with us. Stories stick with us. Now, stick with me here as I explain why and how based on research. So in one study, Researchers at the University of California looked at how well people remember different types of text. So they compared stories, say, for example, a Bible story or some fable that people remember throughout time, or maybe The Cat in the Hat by Dr. Seuss. So they looked at how people, they compared stories to more factual information like an encyclopedia or a Wikipedia entry. The results showed that even though we read stories faster than the factual information, they were actually remembered better. So there was a strong link between how interesting a story was and how much of it people could remember. Now, the one interesting thing was that, though, was that how familiar or how interesting the text was didn't really affect how much people remembered from it. So in other words, just the simple fact that it was a story, people remembered it more and better than just factually based text. Now, I know that's a sad state for society, though. It means that we're in a sad place from a societal standpoint, but we can use this information to our advantage. So in the context of auditing, this study can be interpreted as highlighting the importance of presenting information in a narrative or a story-like format rather than just listing the facts. Even though the narrative text can be read faster, it is remembered at a higher rate. So to me, what this suggests is that as auditors, we might benefit from presenting our information in a story, or in a more engaging format, or in a more engaging style, because it enhances the memorability and the effectiveness in our communication with our clients and our stakeholders. What are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on that, auditors? Do you remember stories better than you do bullet point facts? Do you remember stories better than you do bullet point facts? So now let me give you the third reason why storytelling is crucial for auditors. Stories can change behavior. Now, I know I asked earlier, would a story change your behavior? And Jim said, absolutely not. Heather's like, well, it's a little bit more than just the story. A neuroscientist named Paul Zak has conducted some interesting research on how stories stimulate emotional reactions that consequently lead to behavioral change. He discovered that the chemical that we all talk about nowadays, oxytocin, determines who we can trust. So now, he's linked that with stories and how certain stories produce oxytocin in a listener's brain, and that leads to deeper levels of trust and consequently behavior changes. So now, in one experiment, he showed two groups of people a video of a father interacting with his two-year-old son, whose name was Ben. Towards the end of the video shown to one group, the father faced the camera and said that Ben was dying of cancer. In the video shown to the other group, he left out that part. The people in both groups had their oxytocin levels measured before and after seeing the video. The researchers then observed a much higher level of oxytocin in those who watched the video with the big reveal at the end. Now, Zak says in his research, tellingly, the change in oxytocin had a positive correlation with the participants' feelings of empathy for Ben and his father. Now, following this, though, he didn't stop here. He was curious to see how oxytocin influenced behavior. So he set up another experiment where he injected people with either oxytocin or a placebo. So either you got oxytocin or you got nothing injected. And then he asked them to watch a British public service announcement videos. And before watching the videos, he asked, each participant had been given $5. Afterwards, each person was asked if they wanted to donate some or all of the money to a cause outlined in the video that they had been watching. Now, those who had been injected with oxytocin donated 56% more money to charity. So not only did they donate, but they donated more than those who didn't have the oxytocin injected. Now, he went on to research further. He found that if a person can pay attention to a story and stay emotionally engaged with the characters, that person is more likely to help others in costly and tangible ways. So now this is real interesting to me, because what this says to us is that people are moved by stories. Stories release chemical hormone oxytocin, which is related to trust. People who tell stories are trusted more. Doesn't that kind of mean as auditors, we should probably tell more stories if we really want to be a trusted advisor to our clients? And also, if you recall at the beginning of this episode, I told you a story about a young lady who captivated the nation because she told a story about being kidnapped. And even when evidence pointed to the fact that it probably wasn't a kidnapping, people still believed her. As a matter of fact, they were pretty harsh towards people who questioned her motives. And it was only months later that it came out that she actually was lying. But because she told a compelling story, she kept a nation at bay for quite some time. This alone should show the impact that stories have in our lives. This alone should show the impact that stories have in our lives. I'm sure we all can think about a time when someone told us a story and we acted and reacted very quickly, only to later find out that that story was not true. For those of you who live in the South where I did, I remember the story of Emmett Till. Someone lied on him. He was murdered for it. Years later, the woman that lied came out and said that she lied. She moved an entire nation to actually not only support her, but her family as well supported her in a lie that she held on to for over 50 years. Now, that's the bad side of stories. But obviously, we can use stories in a good way to help affect change within organizations. So today we're talking about four reasons why stories matter and why auditors should tell stories. Stories keep you in sync with your audience. As I said earlier, research has shown that our brain waves sync up. Who would have thought that? Would any of you, Mansoor, my man, good to see you. Would any of you have guessed that our brain waves actually sync up with a person who's telling a story to us? Never in a million years would I have ever imagined that. The second thing is stories stick with us. Research has shown that when we're told a story, it's actually more memorable than being given just a set of facts, auditors. Do we understand that? And then stories can change behavior. We just discussed some scientific research that has shown that stories can change behavior because it releases chemicals and hormones within our bodies that help us to trust people more and help us to change behaviors. But stories don't change all behaviors. Let's talk about the fourth point. Stories can help change strongly held beliefs, but there's a caveat here. So this one is really important. As auditors, we often believe that if we just state the facts, that our clients will act. But what if we need to change a strongly held belief, like something that's embedded within the culture of our organizations? That's a little bit more difficult because when we strongly believe something, we shield ourselves from new facts that conflict with our convictions. We, as a matter of fact, we can twist and turn just about anything to suit our own viewpoint. We all do it. None of us are immune to it. So how in the world do you help someone with a strong belief to see things from a different perspective? Well, I mean, I'm asking this question, but I shouldn't be because you're here today at this podcast. Research suggests that a story helps. But let's explain how. Several studies have looked at how we defend our beliefs from contradictory evidence. As a matter of fact, there's one study that examined a group of, well, partisan people. So it took a bunch of Republicans and it took a bunch of Democrats. And for those of you outside of the U.S., those are the two primary political parties in the United States of America. So it took these people during the 2004 U.S. presidential election. Researchers examined the participants' brains with another functional MRI while they were read contradictory statements about candidates on both sides of the political spectrum. Now, the subjects easily identified contradictions of their non-preferred candidates, but failed to recognize contradictions in the candidates that they actually liked. Pretty interesting, right? In another study by neuroscientist Jonas Kaplan, he showed that new facts and one-off storytelling will not change someone's committed beliefs. So even if you introduce new facts to someone and you tell them one story, that will not change their beliefs at all. So auditors, when you're in your organization and you're presenting all these facts to our clients, hey, we need to do this because of this. We need to change this because of that. And then you only tell one story, they're not going to change. Now, this is probably why when we're sitting here at the exit meeting and we tell the one story that we have in our back pocket about how this affected one client that we had in the past, nothing happens. Nothing happens. But there is hope. There is hope. To have any chance of changing someone's mind, the research shows that what we must do is provide people with not just the facts, but new experiences and then new stories. Now, notice stories is plural. So when we're having issues with audit clients, presenting the facts oftentimes is not going to work. Now, it should, but as humans, aren't most of us emotional? Now, most of us as auditors, we tend to think very logically. And so we think if somebody presented us with new information, we would change after the second time they presented, maybe. But not everyone is like us, and we have to keep this in mind. The research tells us that in order to change a firmly held belief that people have, you have to give them new experiences in the world and new stories. And also, they need to be able to write their own new stories based on their new experiences. Think about this. People with children, you want to shield and protect your children from any and everything that could cause them harm. But when you tell them, don't do this, don't do that, what is the first thing they do? They do exactly what it is that you've told them not to do. Now, if they get burned one time by something or someone, they tend to change a little. They get burned twice, they tend to change a lot. Think about your child has that one friend. Every child has that one friend that's a trouble friend You don't like that friend. You tell your child, don't you hang around little Johnny. Little Johnny's a bad influence. Your child continues to hang around little Johnny until one night, your child is chaperoned home by the police because your child was with little Johnny and they got in trouble. Now, your child will think about this, may not learn the lesson fully this one time, but let's just say it happens again. And your child is chaperoned home by the police. After about the second time, maybe the third time, your child starts to believe you. And at some point they may, when they turn 50 years old, look at you and say, Mom, Dad, you all were right about little Johnny. He was the worst thing ever. But think about it. When you present the facts and the figures, hey, little Johnny's been to jail like 3 or 4 times. He was in juvenile hall. They don't listen. But when they have new experiences, they listen. So the crucial role of storytelling and auditing, well, number one, stories keep you in sync with your audience. When you tell someone a good story, you can see them nodding their head along with you because it becomes more real to them. From a brainwave standpoint, scientists have discovered that MRIs show that our brainwaves line up, the storyteller and the story listeners. Weird stuff, but hey, I read the studies. I didn't believe it either. Two, stories stick with us. Stories are more memorable than simply facts alone. Why do you think most podcasters tell stories? Third, stories can change behavior. When we listen to a good story, chances are our behaviors will change unless it is a strongly held belief. In that case, you need several stories and new experiences. So listen, guys, I want to thank you for joining me for episode number 58 of Audit Bites. Beyond the numbers, the crucial role of storytelling and auditing. Listen, if you want to know how to tell better stories in auditing, give me a call. I've got a training course designed specifically for you. It uses my story framework or my present framework to help you tell better stories when you're dealing with your audit clients. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode today. If you did, tell a friend, forward the podcast to people. We've got 57 previous episodes, and based on my YouTube statistics, people are going all the way back to episode number one and listening to it. And for that, I thank you. Based on the podcast statistics, right now, people in Saudi Arabia are really loving me. And I love you too, Saudi Arabia. Spread the word. Go over to your podcasting platform. Give us a 5-star review. I think that we are worth it. Next episode will be 2 weeks from tomorrow. Normally we're on a Tuesday, but I'm traveling right now, so I had to move it to Monday. I'm also 2 hours behind my normal time zone, so that's why you see the bags under my eyes. So, storytelling and auditing. Will you now start to tell better stories if you can connect better with your clients? That is the question that I ask you all and the challenge that I have for you all. As always, thank you for hanging out with me. See you next week.
Thank you for watching this episode of Audit Bites. If you receive value from this podcast, do us a favor. First, tell other auditors. Second, give us a 5-star review. And finally, talk to Robert about training your auditors. Our contact information is on our website, www.thatauditguy.com. It's also where you will find our course catalog, on-demand courses, a kick-butt blog, other podcasts, Robert's best-selling books, and last but not least, audit merch. That's right, we have audit hats, shirts, mugs, and more. Thanks for watching and listening. See you next episode.